So, Berto, I have a variety of things that I want to talk about today. So, let's do it. What do you say?
That sounds fantastic.
So, annual patron Natasha from California, she says, "Hey, Kirk and Umberto, recently some things happened in my life that left me wishing that I could have just appreciated something that was happening that was good. Do either of you have ways of getting into the mindset of seeing a good moment for what it is while it's happening? Any tips for enjoying the good things in life?" So, Berto, not only will we provide any tips that you and I might have, but also I wanted to do this psychological test that psychologists will use to measure how grateful we are. So this is the gratitude questionnaire developed by McCullough, Emmons, and Tseng in 2002, called the GQ-6 scale. And there's many different gratitude scales we use in psychology, but this is the fastest one. So are you ready, Berto?
Yep.
So from 1 to 7, with 1 meaning strongly disagree and 7 meaning strongly agree and 4 being neutral. So 1 strongly disagree, 7 strongly agree. And you can play along at home if you want to. All right, number 1. I have so much in life to be thankful for. Berto, 1 to 7.
7.
Yeah, I'm going to put 7 as well. Why do you say 7 to I have so much in life to be thankful for?
I've had an incredible amount of love given to me by my family and friends. I have been fortunate enough to live past the age of 0 and, you know, grew up in very kind of precarious moments and environments, and yet was fortunate enough to just get through it, and fortunate enough to live in a part of the world where I'm not daily wondering if I will, you know, be taken away or something, you know, and I have food and I have shelter and all these things. You just, you know, it stacks up. And then also that I get to enjoy time with friends, family, and doing things that I like to do.
Yeah. For me, frequently, I will think about how lucky I am that I have my health relatively. I have a roof over my head. I actually like my job. I'm able-bodied for the most part. I mean, I'm getting older, but, you know, for the most part. I'm not afraid of any kind of war that's happening to me in my town. You know, there are bad things happening all over the world. And I just think about if I added up all the different fortunate aspects of my life, I mean, you just got to figure I'm in like the top 0.01% of the most luckiest creatures that ever lived, really. I mean, just even the fact that I'm a human being is lucky. The fact that I can kind of explore and express and know things is lucky. Yeah. The fact that I'm just alive, the fact that it's not 100 years from now and I'm not dust in the ground or somewhere, you know, there's so many things that I think about that are just so fortunate about my life. So yeah, absolutely. Number 2, if I had to list everything that I felt grateful for, it would be a very long list. 1 to 7, Berto.
7.
Yeah, me too. 7. Same reasons.
Because I would like start inventorying so many things, including all my little collectibles and all my every moment I can remember with every friend and family member and stuff. It's just like, yeah, it would go on.
Yeah, in that order, right? Your possessions would become
possessions
first.
Possessions first, especially certain kinds of possessions like video games and comic books.
Number 3 is when I look at the world, I don't see much to be grateful for.
For me personally or for others?
For you. When I look at the world,
I don't see any.
Meaning comparing yourself to the rest of the world, I don't see much that I have to be grateful for.
Oh, yeah, no, that would be a 1.
Okay, same with me. 4, I am grateful to a wide variety of people.
Oh, that's interesting. Grateful to. Maybe I'm not. I mean, I should be. I don't know. Maybe I'll give myself a 5 on that.
Yeah, I'm going to give myself a 6. It's, you know, it's a different way of looking at it, but I definitely have a wide variety of people to be grateful for, but when I'm grateful, that's not what I think about. That's not in the top 50 items on my list of things I'm grateful for. It's not like, oh, but I do. There's definitely people that made my career, that helped me along the way. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm great, you know, but well, so I guess when I think about everything, I should probably give it a 7.
I just don't think about it that way, like you said. And I don't know. I'll grade myself down a little bit. I should probably do more of that kind of thinking too. Oh, actually, I'll go further because I've often wasted time when I was younger, especially, but it still happens from time to time, being envious. And that's like the opposite of being grateful. You know,
okay,
and just thinking, oh, how did that person get ahead with that thing? Or how did they get that? And
so even lower than five?
Well, but, you know, all in good measure. Like, if I average out the amount of time I spent with that versus just, okay. I'd probably still be at least a four, let's say, but probably five.
Okay. Number five, as I get older, I find myself more able to appreciate the people, events, and situations that have been part of my life history.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, probably a seven, because yeah, that's absolutely true. As I get older, everything means more to me than it used to.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit of a deceptive one, because for me, I feel like I've always known I was lucky, but what they're getting at is true for me. Number six is, long amounts of time can go by before I feel grateful to something or someone. So this is like the frequency of your gratefulness occurring to you. Long amounts of time can go by before I feel grateful to something or someone.
No, I'd probably go two or one on that one.
Well, you got to pick one or two.
I'll just go one.
Okay. I will go two, actually.
And especially after I had health-related problems, it was like, I think this shot up to like constant reminder. Like, I'm thankful, I'm lucky. Yeah. but in regards to the previous one, the idea that as I get older, yeah, because I think back and actually my self-narrative when I was young, I think was this weird mix between superficial happiness, just like, yeah, I'm happy, everything's great, everything's so fun, and constantly being, you know, happy, but with an underlayer of constant dissatisfaction. And I, of course, I had a lot of things to be dissatisfied about. But a lot of that was, in fact, like, I wish this, I wish that, I wish this was the case, I wish I had that. And again, you know, I'm not even blaming myself. It's just, you know, A, kids are like that. B, I did have things to be sad about and all that. But also, in addition to that, I think there was also a sense of entitlement. And I think probably in my 20s that reached a zenith. And then life started happening and knocking me around a bit. And then I thought, oh, okay, maybe it's not exactly all meant to be all for me.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up what is the opposite of being grateful. And I think it's tempting to say, well, it's being envious and wanting more, feeling like you don't have enough, feeling like life has given you bad luck. And I think that that's related, but I don't think they're mutually exclusive. Like, I could see you at the age of 10 wanting things that you deserve to have, but also being very grateful for what you do have, right? Like, yeah, you can be mistreated, you could be going through some really horrific things, while at the same time, depending on how you see the world, also feeling very grateful for what you do have, right?
That's true. The kinds of things I'm thinking about are, I've mentioned once or twice that there was this time where I was at my grandma's house, Liti's, and I was coming up the stairs and I overheard it was very common then to have maids, for the middle class to have maids, and sort of a classist society, unfortunately. And so it was quite common for the middle class to have maids. Usually the maids came from the rural areas. And I was coming up the stairs and I overheard the maid talking to my grandma and saying something about how annoyed they were with someone and how ungrateful and what a kind of, you know, difficult it was. And then I caught on to that they were talking about me, that she was complaining to my grandma about me. And then I walked back down the stairs because it was super awkward. I was like, oop, I wasn't supposed to hear that. And then I was like, what? And I had a mix of like, how dare she? But then I thought, well, what? Oh, no. Am I being a brat? Like, what? And I thought, and of course, I was probably only 11 or something. But I thought later, I'm like, yeah, I bet you I never said, like, thank you so much. Or, you know, I really appreciate this. I probably never had a care for, like, hey, where do you come from? What's your... And again, I'm just a kid. Kids are kind of like that anyways. But it's that kind of thing. I think...
So you had that conclusion at the time when you were young? You thought
No. At the time, I felt guilty, like, oh, have I been a jerk? Oh, I don't know. But as I grew older, I actually was very self-centered. I just would have conversations with people all the time, and all I was thinking about was me. And I don't know if that's the opposite of gratitude, but certainly there was something in there about, yeah, this is my story, and sure, I'll pretend to be listening to you, but let's get back to my story. Whereas as I've gotten older, I've thought, well, it's my story to me. There's other stories. And man, I'm, you know, like we've been saying, I'm very lucky to have a story. And so, yeah, I agree with you. It's not exactly opposites or anything. And things can coexist. You know, you can both be envious or feel like you want, but also be grateful. But there were these little tendrils of narcissism and, you know, lack of caring for what the other person was going through or whatever. Not surprisingly, but it was there.
Yeah, interesting that you also bring up gratitude, not only just internally, like, oh, I'm grateful for this, but also expressing gratitude to others, which we'll get into in a bit. So if you're scoring along at home, you want to add up all the numbers, but for the questions number 3 and 6, you want to reverse it. So if you gave it a 1, then you scored a 7. If you gave it a 5, then you score that a 3. You know what I'm saying? So yep. You add it up and the total possible score is 42 and the lowest possible score is 6. So Berto, you and I scored 40, which is 2 less than 42, of course. I'm good at math, which is extremely high gratitude. People who score in this range have the ability to see life as a gift. For you, gratitude is a way of life.
Yeah.
So just a side note, whenever I see text like this, it kind of bugs me because, I mean, it's fine, but they say extremely high gratitude, people who score da da da, and then the next sentence is for you. It's like pick a lane. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like it's either generalized or it's very specific.
If you scored 37 to 39, you are very high in gratitude. Your life contains frequent expressions of gratitude and you are able to readily acknowledge how others have helped you. 34 to 36, high gratitude. You are above average in gratitude and find it relatively easy to spend time reflecting on your blessings. 30 to 33, average. So that's interesting. 30 to 33 is average. You may find it easy being grateful when things are going well in your life, but may have difficulties maintaining a grateful outlook in tough times. That's interesting. And then below is, you find it challenging to find reasons for gratitude in your life. Life is more of a burden than a gift. Maybe you are just going through a difficult period. So that is the gratitude questionnaire developed by McCullough, Emmons, and Tseng in 2002. So that is our score, Bodo. We are extremely high gratitude.
Well, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, which I'm not surprised by, but I hadn't really until annual patron Natasha asked this question. I didn't even know these psychological tests existed right in my field because it's not a common thing that I think gets talked about. And two, I hadn't really ever thought about gratitude. I just have had a lot of it, and there's a lot of thoughts and memories that come to mind when I'm asked about it, but I've never been actually given a chance to really think about it, at least to my memory. So Berto, she wants to have tips on how to, you know, enjoy the good things in life, how to have, you know, she's like, do you have a mindset that makes it so that you can appreciate a good moment or a good thing in your life for what it is? What are your tips, Berto?
Yeah, that's an interesting toughie, because when I think about myself, I feel like some of it must be genetic, but I know I was given tools as well. For example, when I was little and I was with my dad and my mom had left and I was very sad, of course. My dad was very, very deliberate in trying to, I don't know, bring me along to continue living, you know? And there's even recordings. I have recordings of little conversations and things. And there was a lot of time that he spent making things feel okay. Like we can, you know, keep doing things and have fun. And, you know, and I don't know, maybe it only worked because I was already predisposed or whatever. But I know that it did give me additional tools. There was a certain outlook that he gave me in doing that.
Did he have a lot of expressed gratitude? Is that what you're saying?
Ironically, no. Not that I can see.
Sounds like maybe optimism.
Optimism for me, like it was almost exclusive to me. Oh. It wasn't even like, don't worry, son, this is a beautiful world. And it wasn't even any of that. It was like, you're special. You can do it. You can do it.
Hence the narcissism on some level.
Yeah, I guess so. But it was a certain amount of tool set of like, okay, even though things are terrible, I'm special and I can do good things in life. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. You know, I can have fun. I can go and be great. The flip side of another set of tools that I got is funny because it's my grandma in Colombia, not Liti, my dad's mom. She was actually a constant pessimist and a total hypochondriac. And the world was falling apart. And, oh, she'll be dead any minute. And everything was just terrible. But she loved me so much. So I never thought about this. I literally just putting this together right now. But I kind of feel like this built up this additional little tool for me, which was, you know, even if everything is terrible and everything is falling apart, I still have my grandma's love, right? And so maybe that gave me this additional like reservoir of, as long as I feel there's love, I'm okay. Things are okay. Hmm. And it was at very, very little young impressionable age. So I just feel that stayed with me. Because as I've grown and as I've gone through things that are tough, I've always felt that having friends and family was always a rooting thing for me. And then there was also an independent aspect of it, which was like, well, even if it's down to me and I'm in a desert and it's just me, I'm still going to pull myself by my bootstraps. And I think that was my dad's tool set, you know, like, you're special, you can still do this. And then the other tool said was like, even if everything's going to hell, I still got love.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting as you talk, we're conflating or at least relating gratitude to optimism, which I think it's definitely related. There's definitely a Venn diagram there. But it really is different, right? For me, I'll just speak from my own personal thing is that the future isn't going to be so great for me and my health. I'm just going to take a guess. You know, I'm 51 and it's all downhill from here to, you know, it's just a matter of in what way and at what pace. I don't have optimism regarding my physical health or living forever.
Right.
But I am grateful for maybe even it's related conversely that I do see a future of having mobility issues or dementia and or pain and dying. And that makes me appreciate and have even more gratitude for what I have today. You know, I was thinking just today about I'm not as in shape as I used to be. And I feel like I look older. You know, I saw an old picture of me. Actually, I did a Throwback Thursday posting and I was like, oh, I look a lot younger in that picture because, you know, it was 25 years ago. And
yeah. No wonder.
And I thought, oh, bummer, you know. But then, I mean, this other thought came into my mind. It didn't eclipse the first thought. But the thought is, well, in 10 or 25 years, you would give anything to come back to 51, right?
Yeah, of course.
So, like, I've recognized that throughout my life. You know, I'll be 35 and think, oh, I used to be so much more in shape when I was in high school. And then when I'm 45, I'm like, what was I thinking when I was 35? I mean, what's wrong with you? I was fine. Yeah. I mean, I would do anything to go back to. And so whenever I have that thought, I just think, well, be grateful for what you got because, you know, it's slipping away every day of every year. So
this was the angle with my grandma. Like the first part, the dad thing, I could see that as an optimism thing, but I'll get to why in a second. There's more to it. But with my grandma, it was literally that, no, the future is horrible. There is no optimism. We are doomed. Everything's ending.
What did she think was going to happen?
Everything was, you know, she was like very Catholic, very the end of the world is, and it wasn't like extreme in that sense, but it was just every day there would be some bad news. Oh no, such and such. Oh, she fell. Oh, she's never gonna get up again. Or she. Oh, I have a new pain. Okay, this is the end for me. And just like the news on top of everything else were terrible. So it was just doom and gloom. But to me, she wasn't like that. Like, she was so loving and caring and spent so much time with me and everything. So it was that, no, the future is doomed. We are effed. But don't worry, there is love. So that was the gratitude of like, okay, even if everything else goes to hell, I'm grateful because I've got that love. And I saw it more than just in her interactions with me. because I saw my grandpa deteriorating in front of our eyes, right? Because he had Parkinson's, not Parkinson's, it was something like that, very, very vicious. And he went from, you know, when I was very young, I remember he was very smart, he was still very able, to just within a few years, he could not even speak, he couldn't move. He was such, you know, such a debilitated state. And yet, there we were all for him. And it was frustrating. You know, people would lose patience, but we were all there. And there was still love. And so I think I got this message of, okay, even though things suck and the roof is literally falling in my grandparents' bedroom and the city is going to hell and everything's going to hell and the future looks bleak as hell, we've got love. And that's something to be grateful for. And the thing with my dad was actually kind of similar in that, yep, your mom's not here. Yep, we're in a kind of a dangerous city. Yep, I don't know if we're going to stay here or go to Colombia. Yep, it's just the two of us. But hey, let's have fun. And so it wasn't about the future. It was about, well, there was a little bit of that, like you're going to be great, right? But it wasn't just about the future. It was like, we can still have fun. And that to me translated as like, okay, well, that's something to be grateful for. Obviously, I didn't put it in those explicit terms, and I didn't know we were taking this survey, you know, 50 years later. But it was, I think, building up these little layers of protection, of immunity against feeling like everything sucks and I have nothing to be grateful for.
Do you still have that form of gratefulness?
I do believe so, yeah.
That now that at least you have love?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt that when I was in the hospital last year, and I thought, well, I, you know, like there's my family, there's my girls. So I just hope I can be around a little longer. You know, that was the main thing. But I did feel that, and I felt even in the moment. I remember being in the hospital thinking, well, I had a good run though. You know, it's like I had a good run. I had a lot of good stuff. Mm. There's always that desire of like you want to keep going forever, yet. Time keeps on ticking. And like you said, we're not. Even if I'm right and you're wrong and tomorrow we have full AI human simulations, that's not me. You know, my body's still my body and it'll deteriorate. Mm-hmm. I'll come to an end.
Yeah, I've had a very frequent thought. In fact, I would say that to myself, I think even when I was a teenager, that if I die tomorrow, then I had a good run. I mean, I had a good life. I had a lot of enjoyable moments. I was lucky while I was alive. I really enjoyed myself. I was handed life on a silver platter and I went with it. I don't regret anything. There were things that I would like to change about my decision making in the past, right. but I don't regret it. I don't think about it. I did the best I could and I squeezed as much juice out of that fruit as I could. I didn't waste my time, and I knew my days were limited from an early age as a teenager, and I definitely did not waste my time. You know, I grabbed life by the bull by the horns. What other kind of idiom can I say? And sometimes I want to. In fact, I was just thinking about this last week. That I would record like a posthumous video and post it on YouTube as a private video. And if I died in a car accident tomorrow, Stacy could post it, you know?
Post it, yeah.
And the first thing that I would say is, you know, well, if you're watching this, I'm dead. But the second thing I would say is, don't feel bad for me because I had a good life. And yeah, I guess if I died a little early, that sucks. But I was so much luckier and more fortunate than 99.99% of
organisms in the history of organisms.
Yeah, I mean, at least that's how I see it. I don't know if I'm more fortunate. Maybe everyone's more fortunate than I am, but I certainly feel extremely fortunate. And there's a lot of reasons to believe I'm more fortunate than others. And I also did not waste my time. And I, to some extent, I kind of feel like since I had this awareness since I was young, you know, because some people, they don't realize until midlife or even later, oh shit, like, my days are limited. I need to start actually doing what I want to do. I need to start living my purpose. I've been living other people's purpose this whole time.
I need to buy a Corvette.
Yeah. I've been doing that since I was 16. I've been thinking about that at least on a monthly basis to some extent, maybe on a daily basis. Like, am I doing if I were to die tomorrow, would I regret what I'm doing today? Now, that doesn't mean I'm living every day like it's my last day. That doesn't make any sense. Like, I wouldn't pay rent if that were the case, right? But I try to keep in mind, like, is this what you want to be doing, really? Is this is this how you want to live your life? Is this really worth it, you know? Like, is going to that event that you don't want to go to, is that really how you want to live your life? Yeah. Worrying about that one thing, is that really what you're put on this planet to do? And so yeah, I just want to tell everyone that if and when, well, when I die, even if it's tomorrow, I just want everyone to know that I'm good. Like, I was given something and I used it and it's over, and, you know, c'est la vie, right? Let's take a break. When we get back, I'm going to give my tips for gratitude. What do you say, Berto?
Let's do it.
All right, we're back from the break. I want to do a little announcement, give a little announcement, something that I've never done, I don't think, online, which is to, you know, tell y'all that when you become a patron, a part of your monthly pledge goes towards various charities that we support. I just wanted to list those various charities that we've contributed to and give every month to. Some of these we give every month to, sometimes we give lump sums to, but incidentally, over the last few years, we've given somewhere in excess of $17,000, $18,000 in scholarships and art grants and stuff. But also, we've given thousands of dollars to charities as well. So, you know, you patrons have really helped make the world a better place in that way. But we've given money to Petfinder. They help animal shelters and rescue groups care for homeless pets in need and connect them with loving homes. They help about 100,000 pets per year. A number of my pets have been found through Petfinder. We also give money to Plymouth Housing Group, which provides transitional housing for those in need in the Seattle area. Camp 10 Trees, which is a camp that provides a safe place for queer youth, a camp. Trevor Project, which helps to prevent suicide among queer youth. Special Olympics, National Alliance of Mental Health, or Mental Illness, sorry. Animal Aid and Rescue Foundation, otherwise known as ARF. Prevent Child Abuse America, Animals Lebanon, which rescues pets in Beirut and connects them with loving homes, which is where I got two of my cats. Environmental Defense Fund, or EDF, Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund, Wikipedia, which I think is an important resource for the world, and Doctors Without Borders. So those are the charities that we give to. I also want to do an OPP, Berto.
OPP.
So these people became patrons all the way back in June of 2020. We got Issa and Jasmine and Hannah and Natasha and Katerina, who live in God knows where. We have Alexandra from Montreal, Quebec. We have Shugs from Seattle.
Oh, nice.
We have Cheryl from, who's an upper tier patron from New York, New York. Angela from Woodbridge, Virginia. Lily from Needham, Massachusetts. It's probably like Needham, right? It's probably not Needham. It's probably something like Needham or something.
Needham.
Portia from Long Beach, California. Also, we have Karen, Natasha, another Natasha, Elizabeth, Laura from God knows where. We have, is it Irish name? It's spelled like Shobin. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Like Shona or Shania or...
Shaban.
So Shaban, up at your patron Shaban. And we have Tasha from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mingy from San Jose. Pearl from Honolulu. Francis from California. Aristair from Edmonton, Alberta. Laura from Montreal, another Montreal person. Laura, do you know Alexandra? And Stacy from Rhode Island. Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Sounds like a very Rhode Island town, right? Pawtucket.
Yeah, Pawtucket Patriots.
So thank you for becoming a patron and staying patron all this time. So my tips for remaining grateful are to develop a practice or a habit. Like, for example, I'd say about 50% of the time before I fall asleep, I provide gratitude for everything that I'm grateful for. You know, it's usually like currently my wife, in fact, she just texted me, Berto, that she tested not positive for COVID.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Everyone in our family got it because they went on this family vacation together and I didn't go and they all got it. So I picked them up from the airport. They're all COVID positive at this point.
Oh,
and I'm in a car and I have the AC on recirculation. So the air is just recirculating within the,
and everyone knew already at this point?
No, none of them knew.
Oh no. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm in a car with five COVID positive people for like 50 minutes.
What?
With the windows up. I was like, I'm doomed. I mean, talk about hotboxing with COVID, you know? Remember when do kids still hotbox? Do people still hotbox?
I hated that.
What do you mean? Why do you hate it?
Well, isn't that, okay, maybe I don't know what it is because I thought it was when someone farts under a blanket and then.
No, they call it a Dutch oven.
Dutch oven, okay.
To the Dutch out there, we have a lot of phrases in the United States that involve Dutch this, Dutch that, and it's
double
like,
Dutch.
Hotboxing was when you pack into a car and you smoke weed because
I see.
You keep all the smoke inside.
And who knows?
You don't get extra high.
I'm sure they still do it. Sorry, the name of the actress I was thinking of is the Saoirse Ronan or Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse.
That's what I'm talking about. The same kind of weird spelling.
Exactly.
Saoirse.
Yeah. Or Domhnall. It's Domhnall Gleeson.
Right. Domhnall.
It's Donnell, I think.
Donnell. Yeah.
Even though there's an N in there.
Extra letters.
Come on, Irish people. Like, spell English correctly. Just joking. So, habit. You want a tip for developing gratitude? It's habit. And I developed this as a child. You know, when I was a kid, I went to church all the time, and gratitude is a huge part of certain sects of Christianity, and particularly ours. It was just one gigantic gratitude fest, to the point where my family, when we sat down to eat dinner every day, and we religiously had dinner at 5 o'clock every single day, Monday through Sunday, like it was like clockwork. And we rarely went on vacation or anything. So I would venture to say that we were all there having dinner at 5 o'clock, 51 weeks out of 52 weeks out of the year. Like, and every time we would pray, gratitude was a major part of it.
Because you'd say grace, and then you'd say things like, I'm grateful for this or that.
Yeah, yeah. And it does point to a possible evolution of that practice, right? It's not like inherent that you're supposed to give gratitude, as a habit, as a ceremony, right? But there's so much ceremonial, you know, Islam, it does this, I'm sure other religions as well. And you just have to wonder if that evolved because people noticed that they felt better, which we'll get into in a bit in terms of the research. Because I think if you would have asked me before thinking about this, I would have thought, well, of course religions involve gratitude because they want to make you feel like a pile of crap to keep you religious. You know what I mean? They want to make, you know, you're supposed to appreciate that God gave you these things because it locks you in on the idea that God gave you these things and thus you won't leave the religion. You know what I mean, Berto?
That, and also there is an aspect of control that, look, it doesn't matter that the world is crappy because we have all the riches and you don't. You should still be grateful. You know, life's still beautiful. And that was true. That was a reality of like trying to keep people subservient is to keep them happy, keep them entertained, keep them grateful.
Right.
There's that dark side. There's also another thing that I didn't actually get the right message from, which was I also, you know, I grew up Catholic in a Catholic country. And when it came to saying prayers at night, there was this little trope that was you ask for things. And that was always like the opposite of gratitude, because it's like, you know, how people are like, oh, I really pray my team wins this Sunday. It's like, what? Like, that doesn't seem aligned. Like, you want the creator, the orchestrator of this whole thing, the universe, right? To be like, oh, hold on. The quantum are shifting. Oh, wait, what? Oh, sure. There, score a couple points. Okay. Like, that, to me, is the antithesis of gratitude, you know? It's like, we've been given all this stuff, but I really still need one more thing. You need to swing the game. You need to cheat. You need to have my team cheat this Sunday. Not cool.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there was a fair amount of that, and has been a fair amount of requests in, along those lines. So anyway, getting back to a habit, if you fall into a habit, and research shows that that habit actually does have a lot of benefits, then that can increase your overall gratitude, even though your life doesn't change. Number two is mindset, because Natasha, you're asking for, like, how do you notice things as they're happening? And you even use the word mindset. And I would say it is a mindset that I have. That is, I guess it's kind of like looking on the bright side. I don't know if that really encompasses it, but it's like, for example, when we were in Disneyland, Berto, you and I, with, you know, your brother and family and kids and stuff, Stacy, there were lots of moments I could have been focused on bad things, right? Like, there's so many people and there's long lines and I'm getting tired. But I chose consistently the entire time, because I don't remember ever even thinking negatively about what was happening. I chose to focus on the good things. It's like, I'm with friends and the kids are having so much fun, and this is such a rare opportunity to spend quality time together, especially after the pandemic.
Right.
And we were what seemed to be the end of COVID at the time, because it was before the latest wave. It was, you know, right there in like April 1st or something, when we thought the first Omicron wave was over. But I was really looking at all the good things, and that's also part of the habit, but it's also just part of my mindset. Like, I will be with other people who tend to look at the downside of things, and, you know, it depends on the situation, but I don't actually like hanging out with people like that, because it brings me down, you know? And it's like, I'm looking at them thinking, why do you choose to look at it that way? Like, it's a choice. Right. Like, you know, there are situations when you shouldn't be this way, right? Like with climate change, you shouldn't be like, but we're recycling, yay. You know, you should, in a very sober way, look at the data and realize there's only some bright side and there's a lot of non-bright side. But when it comes to, like, you're on a vacation with your friends, or you just made a major purchase and you can't take it back, then you have two choices. You either choose to look on the bright side and enjoy your life and enjoy what's happening, or you choose not to look on the bright side and you hate your life and you bring everyone down around you, even though nothing will change. You know, like with climate change, looking on the bright side could actually cause problems, because you could be in denial of the problem. But if you're stuck in Disneyland and you're just like, oh, there's just so many people everywhere, you know, it's like,
Everything's terrible.
Yeah, it's like, it's a choice you make, you know, and I'm not going to blame people for being in a bad mood or experiencing a bad situation. But if you consistently make that choice when a choice is available to you, I just think, why are you doing that to yourself? You know, you're ruining your life, because everything has to do with perspective. Everything has to do with, there's a lot of things that are completely dependent on how you look at it, and you have a choice. And it is kind of an existential thing, right? Like Viktor Frankl and a lot of the other existentialists would talk about this, of just like, look, you have one life to live, and you have so many choices that you can make. You have a choice about what career you have, you know, within reason. You have a choice about who you decide to settle down with. You have a choice about whether or not you have kids. There's a lot of choices that you have to make, and you are responsible for those choices. And so if you think your life sucks, even though it doesn't necessarily, then you made that choice and you are now living with those consequences. Now, you know, I'm sure some people out there going like, but my life does suck and I don't really have a choice in that matter. And absolutely, you know, like if you're suffering from ongoing pain or depression or poverty or some real issue like climate change, then, you know, looking on the bright side isn't possible. But I'm just talking about when you have a choice. The last thing I'll say is, like I was saying earlier, how when I'm around people who look on the dark side or negative frequently, it's, you know, in places where I have a choice, I actually will try to avoid either being around those people or having conversations that might trigger that. Because when I'm around people like that, I notice myself becoming more and more dark and more less grateful, more and more upset. And, you know, this has to do with not only like water cooler conversations, but it has to do with internet conversation and news, what I pay attention to, right?
Yep. I mean, I remember professionally, in the year 2000, I would have all these like closed door meetings with the people that were my peers, like my same age. It's like, oh, can you believe what happened? That's so terrible. Oh, this place is going to hell. Oh, this is getting so terrible. And like we'd like gossip and always, and we got into this little mode of like complain. And just like everything was intrigue. And you know, years later, we looked back and we're like, man, those were the good days. We had it so good. We didn't even know. But yeah, and you unfortunately feed off of each other and you can get into these little downward spirals of like negativity or lack of gratefulness or just whatever.
Yeah. And I think there are some stark examples of this happening in our current culture. I won't identify which, but where people are getting together online and creating this negative focus. You know, the things they're focusing on, they're not wrong, but it's like a really narrow version of what could be paid attention to.
Yeah.
And they're in this echo chamber of negativity online, and then they emerge from that place looking very strange to someone like me when I'm looking at them. I'm just like, how did you, that's so weird that it's like, you're not saying anything wrong, but it's like the emphasis you're making on those things just seem different than how I would. And then they proceed to kind of ruin their lives because they're so up in arms about things. Now, as I say that, I'm sure some people are like, well, what are we supposed to do? And I'm like, well, you know, activism. I'm not talking about what I'm thinking of because I don't know. I just don't want to get into it. But I think it happens.
To your point earlier, though, you can be grateful and still be an activist about things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like I can be pessimistic about climate change and also advocate for changes to our system so we can mitigate climate change. And also be grateful for the fact that our planet still exists.
Yeah. I mean, it's like humans didn't have an instruction manual, and humans are basically apes that just happened to tumble a rock down a hill. And so now we're sitting here, you know, and I'm speaking from the defense chair of the, I'm saying we're sitting here expecting that we should know how to take care of the planet so that it doesn't go into a downward spiral of ecological collapse. But we don't. So, hey, you know, at least we had a planet. Now, that said, obviously we want to try to stop the downward spiral.
I mean, the overall point of what you're saying is absolutely true. I agree. Asterisk, though, but we do know how to change it is the thing. We know what to do. Experts know what to do. And we just
experts know the science. Humans as a community, we don't yet or maybe never possess the ability to steer ourselves clear of all danger. That, you know, we're just not good at future planning. We're not very good at that.
As a collective, yeah.
We're not, as a collective.
Yeah. All right. So I want to rattle off this, a lot of the research findings regarding gratitude, which I find to be really eye-opening. Because when you think about gratitude, you're just like, oh, you're looking on the bright side. It like picks you up your mood. There are so many found empirical effects of gratitude that are way beyond that. So this article is, actually, I think Natasha sent this to me, or I found it. I'm not sure. It's titled 28 Benefits of Gratitude and Most Significant Research Findings, 2017 by Courtney Ackerman on PositivePsychology.com. So I'm just going to rattle these off, Berto. So simply journaling for 5 minutes a day about what we are grateful for can enhance our long-term happiness by over 10%.
Wow.
So just simply journaling for 5 minutes a day about what we're grateful for. I will say that's a lot of time, you know, because like when I think about when I am about to fall asleep, I'll probably spend 45 seconds, you know. So if it was 5 minutes a day, yeah. I mean, you're really drenching in gratitude at that point, but a 10% on average increase. Okay.
I'm so grateful that I have to spend 4 more minutes on this every day.
Even when controlling for personality, a high level of gratitude has a strong positive impact on psychological well-being, self-esteem, and depression. So well-being makes sense, depression makes sense, but self-esteem, why would having gratitude have a positive effect on self-esteem, Berto?
Interesting. Okay. When I related back to what I was talking about when I was little, if I am getting a model of the world where things just suck and I really don't have things to be grateful for, I might make the association that that's probably because of me, because when I look around, Other people seem to have lots of things to be grateful for, and the world seems to be giving them cool stuff. So I guess there's something wrong with me, you know, and all of this implicitly. And these might be the implicit lessons I learned. So, yeah, I could see how I could translate this into, yeah, you know, everything sucks for me because of me.
Yeah. And I suppose it's also possible that when one has general gratitude, you also will all, you know, in addition, you know, as a part of that overall gratitude, will be grateful for your own qualities, maybe what you've accomplished or something. I can also imagine just when we're in a better mood, we have higher self-esteem,
And by the way, one disclaimer is like, part of me being grateful is that I am aware of what a privileged position I'm in. So it's freaking easy for me to sit here and being like, oh, you should be grateful about things because things are so great. No, but I mean it for me because yes, I have been blessed with so many lucky things. I wasn't, you know, dead from diphtheria at the age of 2. I wasn't, you know, like I didn't die in that car crash at 18. I didn't, like, there's a lot of things that I got lucky about and that I am grateful about. But that doesn't mean, hey, everyone should just put on rose-colored tinted glasses and everything is wonderful at all times for everyone. No, it's sort of the opposite of that. It's like, no, I realize that people are struggling constantly and in pain and in suffering. And if I were in that situation, I would have to find other things about my situation that I would still feel grateful for. But they wouldn't be the same things I'm grateful for right now because I wouldn't have all those things.
Yeah. Along those lines, I've always lived a privileged life on a number of dimensions. But even when my life was not going well, even compared to other people in my community, like in my 20s or something, when I didn't know where I was headed and I was a dishwasher at a Godfather's Pizza, you know, and I hated my life and I hated my job and I didn't have any money and my back hurt and my face was greasy from all the grease in the air from the pizza kitchen and other things were going bad in my life. And yet I still, if you asked me, had a mindset of gratefulness, would have been like, well, it could be worse because it could have been. I mean, legitimately could have been. And, you know, I don't know if maybe some people hear that and say like, well, you know, you were just kind of at the bottom edge of privilege, you know, and yeah, you could argue that. But and I don't know, you know, write in, listeners, if you have some kind of particular, because this is two privileged individuals. Particularly me, Berto, you come from some privilege, but one could argue in a lot of ways not, you know.
Well, so, this is a fact. Like when I was in the last few years I was in Colombia, my house that I lived in was falling apart, literally, like roofs collapsing kind of things. There was almost no money in the house. My dad had been unemployed for a long time. My grandpa was all very near to dead from his disease. There was a lot of bad things. But even in that situation, we would drive every day and pass dozens of kids living on the street, being abused and forced to work for other people that were also street people. And then you would look up to the hill and there'd be all these little tin shacks of invasions of people on the hills. And they actually at least lived in a modern major city where there was some amount of stuff to go around. You go to another country where there isn't even water. So, yeah, things go a lot deeper and worse than any one of us can experience, even when I was in sort of the worst parts of my situation.
Yeah, and even those people who are in towns where there is no water and there's a lot of poverty, you'll find a lot of people are grateful and happy. Yeah. They're not excited about the things they're facing, but they can find the good in life. They can find love. They can find beauty, right? And not that us privileged people should say, well, then we don't need to help them.
Yeah, we've solved the problem. No. But, this isn't that.
But, you know, it independently of morality and justice, individuals can find gratitude and the good in life regardless of where they are. And, you know, maybe it's one of our strengths. Another is that gratitude is associated with lower envy of other people, which makes sense, right?
Yeah, and that, so that's interesting. That's why I was saying that I know that this has increased for me over the years, because I used to have a lot more envy over other people.
Yeah. It is kind of the opposite in a sense, right? Because if you get away from gratitude, then you start being jealous of other people. You want what other people have. Gratitude facilitates positive emotions. They make us more resilient. Participants who completed a four-week gratitude... I'm rattling off various different research studies, by the way. I'm just not... You can read that article and find all the citations. But participants who completed a four-week gratitude contemplation program, four-week gratitude contemplation program, reported greater life satisfaction and self-esteem than the control participants. So this is interesting because it's a trial, right? So you get 100 people and you assign 50 people to the gratitude contemplation program and 50 people to the control. And at the end, you compare the two because, you know, one of the things is like chicken or the egg, right? Because if your life is going well, does that what causes you to have gratitude? Or does gratitude cause your life to go well, cause you to feel better about your life? And it seems like it is both, but it also, you could just increase gratitude in your life and on average be more likely to experience a lot of these benefits. Gratitude is a protective factor when it comes to suicidal ideation. Access to wider social network, more friends, better relationships on average. Expressing gratitude to our significant others results in improved quality of the relationship, which makes sense. People with gratitude have more access to social support. It also lessens the need for social support in the first place when you have gratitude. The more spiritual you are, the more likely you are to be grateful. And the more grateful you are, the more likely you are to be spiritual. That's interesting. What do you think about that one, Berto?
I don't know. Certainly as a kid, I can relate to that because when I was a kid, I always felt that being grateful certainly had something to do with being grateful to God because I owed everything to God. What's the reason I'm kind of questioning it is because nowadays I'm not religious. And so I think, well, I could certainly go the other way with it, which is like, oh, wait, there is a God? Oh, geez, I got a long list of complaints, not even just about me, just like a long list of complaints. So my focus would be more on that. But if there isn't, then I'm grateful because I'm like, man, it's just stroke of luck, huh? We just lucked out. I could see the correlation in general that you would say, you know, I'm going to spend a little time every day saying grace, being grateful. Maybe that makes you feel spiritual in some way. Maybe it's not a specific religion, but maybe it's more a feeling of connectedness to the universe or what have you.
Promoting gratitude in participants makes them more likely to share it with others, even at the expense of themselves, and even if the receiver was a stranger. So if they had do an experiment and they asked people to express gratitude in themselves and then a control group that doesn't, the people who think about gratitude are more likely to be altruistic, at least in the lab. Those who are most grateful tend to be less materialistic, which makes sense. A study on the effects of gratitude on positive affectivity and optimism found that a gratitude intervention resulted in greater tendencies towards positivity and expanded capacity for happiness and optimism. Managerial skills are enhanced if you're more if you have more gratitude, which makes sense, right? Because you would show more gratitude for your workers. Less likely to be impatient during economic decision making. Okay, here's where it gets kind of interesting, Brad, these last few studies. Those with hypertension who count their blessings, have gratitude at least once a week, experienced a significant decrease in blood pressure, resulting in better overall health.
So that's crazy.
And you can measure it on average. You know, so you
it's
intervene.
Like meditation. Weird.
Yeah. A two-week gratitude intervention increased sleep quality and reduced blood pressure. Participants who practice gratitude regularly for 11 weeks were more likely to exercise than those in the control group. So, you know.
Well, I'm going to start saying grace every night.
Yeah, I mean, mindfulness folks will say, yeah, in mindfulness, there's a practice, a subset of mindfulness practices that have to do with gratitude, and we've known about this for a long time. So, you know, I think it's along those lines.
I'm going to wear my God helmet to bed, man.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to try to up my percentage at night from 50 to, you know, 80% or something, because after hearing all this stuff, it just...
Seriously.
So, Berto, if you were to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to make a habit of consciously journaling or reviewing what I'm grateful for, and let's say, like, a month from now, you report back in and you're like, yeah, I didn't do it as much as I committed to. Why would that be, do you think?
Well, in my case, probably because I've always found it hard to journal. But let's say, okay, so let's say I said, you know, for the next month, every night before bed, I'm not going to spend 5 minutes, but I'm going to spend like a couple minutes writing down a few things that I think.
Or just thinking, or even just thinking them in your head. You know?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, that one I think I could pull off. I feel like the writing is the crossing.
But let's say you don't do it, you know, because I imagine, because I'm thinking about this for myself.
Yeah.
Because even as I was saying, I want to increase it from 50 to 80. I'm like, but will I really? Why would people not do that? Because it's like, what's a couple of minutes? It's not that hard, right? And there's all these known benefits.
I wonder if there is a counterproductive aspect. Like, for example, but, you know, according to the research, maybe not. But as an example, maybe if I start every night going like, oh, I'm so grateful for the car, or for, I'm so grateful for the house or whatever. Maybe after a few nights or weeks or months, I start going, well, damn it, fine, but I'm not that grateful. Or I don't know, it starts feeling like, why do I have to be so grateful? I'm trying to imagine if there's some aspect of it that can get tiring.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for me, it's like I don't have a tremendous impulse. And I think this is why religions would make this into ceremony, because when it becomes ceremonial, then...
You just have to do it.
Yeah, it's just a routine, and you don't have time or the opportunity to really think, do I want to do this? And I think that it's similar to like exercise or eating my vegetables or something. It's like, I know I should, and I know I benefit from it, but I'd rather just do this other thing, you know? And so it's kind of interesting to think, right, that even just 30 seconds... And maybe it's like that. Maybe it's like working out. It's like, just start, just say one thing a day that you're grateful for. Just one, you know?
I wonder if I could be grateful while I'm running. Because, you know, if I go on a run, I could just be grateful.
Yeah, two birds with one stone. All right, Berto, what's the final word on gratitude?
I have a saying in my household, the only attitude I want is gratitude. And my girls roll their eyes when I say it.
I forgot
but
about
it's,
that.
It's because, you know, I don't want to hear, like, you said you were going to start the show and the show hasn't started, or where is my potato chips that I was promised or whatever. It's like, no, no, no. The only attitude I want is gratitude.
So when they acknowledge and change their behavior, what does that mean? Are you just saying stop with the attitude, or are they supposed to say, well, I'm grateful that we're eventually going to watch the show?
We're supposed to look more on the things that we have rather than things we don't have. Like, instead of focusing so much on all the things you didn't get, like, what about the things you got, the things you have? That's the idea. I just feel like our kids are so spoiled. Not just my kids, just kids. The kids in my social circle are so spoiled, and it becomes hard for them to appreciate things. Yeah. So we're trying to work on that.
Yeah, by depriving them of all sorts of things.
Yeah. No, by being grateful.
Do you ever think about the sort of things they'll be talking about when they have a podcast in 40 years?
Oh my gosh. My dad used to, it was so embarrassing. We'd be sitting there with my friends. He'd burst into the room, be like, I was hearing some attitude. What do I always say? And we'd have to sit there. The only attitude is gratitude. Oh, so embarrassing. But then one of their friends will say, well, you know, that saved my life. That saying saved my life, because when I was in Africa saving world hunger and cancer, that's what kept me through it. And now the world is a better place.
And everyone out there, take care of yourself, because
you deserve it.